We are going to open our regular board meeting for the town of Discovery Bay. We can stand and have Director Bruteau lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Has roll call been taken?
Roll call is taken and all members are present.
Thank you. So this is the time for public comment, where you can comment on anything that is not on the agenda. Is there anybody in the audience that has public comment?
There's someone online with no hand raised.
Okay, perfect. And in, so it doesn't look like we have any public comment, so we're going to go ahead and close public comment. Moving on to the consent calendar. Are there any questions on the consent calendar?
Move to accept.
Second.
Can I get public comment on the consent calendar? Go ahead and do a roll call vote.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Bruteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
President Porter?
Aye. Consent calendar passes. So we're now moving on to our area agency reports. Do we have Stephen on the line? Is Tiffany on the line? From Assemblymember Lori Wilson?
No.
We have Sheriff Hackens is here. Nice to see you.
Yes, thank you for having me in. Good evening.
Good evening.
So, for the month of April, we had about 350 calls for service. Of those, we generated about 46 police reports. I'm happy to report that overall, crimes are staying low. Really only have two things that are noteworthy. The most recent is just last Saturday. We had some individuals that attempted to steal a gator and some equipment from the maintenance yard. And thanks to a very vigilant employee that thought something looked a little off, they were able to follow the suspects and recover the gator and the equipment. So we are working on potential leads with that. And then the 1900 block of Bixler, there was a home that was broken into. Time frame's a little loose just because the person doesn't actually live there full time. There was a utility trailer and some miscellaneous items that were stolen. But otherwise, shoplifting has stayed down. I think we only had 3 reported cases for the entire month. So that's excellent.
That's
very
good.
Happy to report that.
And that includes Safeway, correct?
Yes, Safeway and CVS.
Good to know.
But otherwise, nothing else to report on, so I'm very happy about that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, good, and that means that the tough line started with your predecessor, and you're carrying through with it.
I'm trying.
I think it's I think
it's
going to maybe they'll just. It's kind of like putting the alarm sign in your front yard. They're going to go to the next house, right?
Yes.
I think, but if they get the impression that hey, we're not going to tolerate it, well, then why go there? You can go to Antioch, and they're going to let you do it. So, not saying anything about Antioch. So you say, go to Pittsburgh, and
way to go, Kevin.
Anything can happen. But we appreciate that, and we appreciate that we can that reputation. Hopefully, that permeates about us not accepting crime.
We have noticed a slight decrease in the reporting from Safeway as a result of, unfortunately, some of the incidences that have occurred statewide and actually beyond California, where there's been shootings and employees that have been killed as a result of trying to stop this type of behavior. So Safeway has really changed how they reach out to us to report that activity, which is really sad to see. But we're certainly doing our best to still stay vigilant and, you know, be visible there in the parking lot. So hopefully we still keep a lid on it. So.
Well, certainly the numbers obviously dictate that. So
absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, we'll definitely need to keep a close eye on it as we get closer to the summer months, because I do think that, you know, brings folks out a little more than during these last few months when it's been pouring rainy and cold and inclement weather. So hopefully we can still stay on top of that.
As a side note, do you happen to have gotten any cards yet?
Business cards?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to have one if you could.
Same, please.
Yeah, you can pass those out of your
week. Why are you doing that?
Thank you so much.
Can I take maybe share a success story that we, a civilian that we did with in conjunction with the Sheriff's Department? I don't know if some of you may or may not be aware that we installed flock cameras on Marina because we're getting a lot of thefts in the blue roofs, and we went in and invested in cameras that record license plates day or night for a month. And we got the marinas to contribute a third of the cost, and then the yacht club contributed a third of the cost, and the Blue Roof condos. We did a GoFundMe, and we contributed a third of the cost. We had our first success. There was people out in Joe and Denise's parking lot spinning donuts, and one of the guys there that knows Frank Morgan, you know, who's one of the owners of the condos, called him up and said, hey, at 9:37, between 9:37 and 9:41, they were spinning donuts in the parking lot. And that tears up Denise and Joe's brand new asphalt. And so Frank goes back and looks at the cameras. And at night, all you get is a license plate. And the Sheriff's Department works with different communities that already have these installed. That's the cool part. So it's in conjunction with the authorities that we do this. And then he went back 3 weeks before that and said, did this car ever pass this camera in the last 3 weeks? And sure enough, 4 days before that, in daylight, that license plate went by. So now we have a perfect description of the two vehicles that we gave to the Sheriff's Department. The next weekend, Frank's at the yacht club telling the story, and the guy goes, oh yeah, I live there. I got it on camera. I took a picture with my cell phone. They drove off when they saw me recording them. So we turned that over to the Sheriff's Department and said, you know, see what you can do. We now have an app. They went, showed up, talked to the parents of the, I don't know, 17 or 16 or 17 year old kid.
They didn't come to my house.
And said, this is your vehicle and this is the evidence we have. And so that young man has now had his license, his driving privilege suspended for 30 days. And with a comment from the Sheriff's Department says, hey, we're gonna suspend his license if he continues to vandalize. And that's how effective those cameras have become.
That's great.
That's excellent.
That we did. Yeah, and so I'm really thinking that in the future, we're trying to work with P6 to have those cameras put throughout town so that we can record effectively the coming and going, because we're kind of an island. We can cover most of our entrances and exits. Mm-hmm. So that may be coming to the board at a future date. That's why I was bringing that up with regards to, and staff has already been in the loop, and they are meeting with the and you guys are, Tracy has flock. You guys have, I mean, you work with flock cameras at Bethel Island and some other places, I believe,
yeah,
also.
There are several LPR vendors. There's Flock, there's Recore, and there's Vigilant, all of which are great vendors and are incredibly beneficial for us in our investigative, you know, steps. So
that's great.
Is there one over another that you endorse?
Publicly, no.
Okay.
But no, each company has their, you know, their pros and their cons. Several of them offer solar options, but obviously, you know, with inclement weather, they're not going to be as reliable. So they all are great cameras.
It's really the searchable database that makes these really cool. Let's say somebody sees a truck with a ladder rack, or a bumper sticker. You can just say, I want to see all vehicles with bumper stickers. And boom, they all pop up, and then it just narrows it down and makes it much simpler for the evidence chain to be developed. And I think Joe's happy; he's getting a return on his investment right away.
Let's to give you a good example, yesterday or day before, we actually had a reported, we'll call it a carjacking, out here in Byron, and the victim was giving us some information about the suspect vehicle that was involved, and they said that basically this vehicle took him and his vehicle at gunpoint. They went out of the area, out of the county, and then ultimately came back. Well, the description he gave us of the suspect vehicle was very distinct, and we were able to look through camera footage within a time frame, and we aren't finding a vehicle that matches that, because it'll show you all the cars before and after it. So we're kind of thinking his story is less than authentic. So, I mean, it's just equally important to, you know, it's sad that if somebody's reporting something falsely, hopefully that's not the case, but so far we haven't been able to corroborate his side of the story, but the cameras are being, you know, incredibly helpful with that.
Very effective, yeah.
Where he told us he was taken that night is not matching up with license plate camera readers in El Sobrante, San Pablo, which we have access to.
Sure.
Yeah. So
that's the cool part.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's helping in that particular investigation.
And that word gets out and people start avoiding areas.
Yeah,
absolutely. So
that's great. Thank you.
Thank you,
you guys
so much.
Thanks a lot.
No? All good.
Thank you. Have a good night. You too.
You too.
Do we have anyone from TSPL?
No.
Okay. Anybody from Confire?
No.
And anyone from Josh Harder's office?
No.
Okay. We're going to move on then to discussion and possible actions. H1 is discussion possible action to approve investing funds in the California Class Public Investment Program for districts. I think Dina, you're up on that one?
Sure. So I'll make this short and sweet since we've seen this in multiple meetings. At the April 5th, 2023 Board of Directors meeting, CSDA Finance and Administration Director Rick Wood presented the board with California CLASS Public Investment Program. The presentation provided background on California CLASS, its formation, its board of directors, and their positions within the special district, member benefits, investment safety, ease of participant use, estimated percent of interest and earnings and daily yields, and key features of the investment tool. It is recommended that the board take the following action as notated in the staff report presented in the board agenda packet. Any questions?
Any questions?
No.
Okay. Is there any public comment on it? Can we get a motion to approve staff's recommendations?
I will motion to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Can we roll call vote, please? Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Pichot?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
President Quirk? Aye. Motion passes.
Great idea.
Next one is, Alan, looks like you're up. Discussion on possible action to approve purchase installation of fencing gating at Community Center.
Thank you. Good evening. The staff report you have in front of you details an incident that occurred in March, which kind of precipitated us looking into this. And actually, we had another two incidents occurred the weekend of the April 22nd and 23rd, where our facility was breached. One area where the fencing is down on the south portion of our property. It's a wrought iron fence and it's basically rusted, so we need to get fencing up there, particularly keep, hopefully no young kids would get through that and get into our pool area. And also through this process, we started looking at a gating area over by the tennis courts and pickleball areas. And the reason why we were suggesting that is more of a deterrent for people to come in our property when our property is obviously closed. Something came up during our committee meeting mentioning that, as my understanding, that during events that occur on the property when the tennis courts are closed, kids will come in there, bring skateboards, and get into the pickleball courts and the tennis courts and do some damage to that. So that would be another reason to have some sort of fencing, which is also part of your staff report, on the tennis pickleball courts. And during the conversation during the committee, it was mentioned that it's not going to be a catch-all for everyone, but it will be a deterrent. We noted that during the times people entered our property, some would hop the little fence, the gate over here, and others pulled down the actual fencing on the south end and walk through our property to get to the tennis pickleball courts when we were closed. So the staff report before you offers two suggestions. Obviously, you can take a position on either one or both. But one is to get new fencing on the southwest perimeter of our community center. And the second recommendation is to install gating on our tennis and pickleball courts. And we're, the concern there is too, is if people come on our property when we're closed and they get into the pickleball tennis court areas, passerbys can't see anybody on those courts. If someone were to get hurt, have a medical emergency, and staff's not here, I think it's could put some people in danger.
Thank you. Are there any clarifying questions?
Yeah, I do have a question. So on the first diagram we see here, Alan, building starts right here,
correct,
pretty much, right?
Correct.
So that's the reference to the building is right here. It goes out, follows the existing fence lines.
Correct.
Okay. And the second sketch, we currently have gates that go onto the tennis courts, but there are open paths between the courts that don't, aren't gated, is that correct? Like where the bleachers are and that type of thing?
Correct. So and so if they were to actually get in there, there are gates, but there's actually low fences so that someone could easily hop over that to get into the tennis courts, pickleball courts. So the whole idea was to have, it says in there, a sliding gates, more swinging gates that could be secured when our property is closed. When our property is open, we could unlock those gates, open them up, and then people could use it.
They just be padlocked like a typical, correct, where a thing drops down, you put a padlock on it.
Correct.
But that would, then we would also have to incorporate locking the existing gates that already that go into the courts as part of that security at the same time, so, correct?
Yes.
I mean, that's just, I know it's very obvious, but, because there are access gates to each court over and above these open areas.
That's
right. Okay. That's all I got.
Any other questions? Is there any public comment?
No.
Okay, bring it back to the board for a motion to approve staff's recommendations.
Well, before we do that, can I make a comment from the committee standpoint? This was presented today, and at least I don't want to speak for both of us, but from my standpoint, I think the idea of replacing the damaged fencing is absolutely warranted. But at this point, I'm not convinced that we necessarily have to do anything with the gating of the tennis court area, because it's a deterrent. That's all it is a deterrent. And, you know, I don't know, you know, while it's not a huge expense, $7,000, you know, I don't know how much more staff capacity that purchases to make sure that we have people here on site. So my opinion is I'm not in favor of that portion of it. So that's my comment.
Yeah, and just since Brian, Director Gateau brought it up, I will agree with him on the fencing. I agree that all the damaged fencing needs to be replaced. That's a no-brainer to me. One of the comments that a resident made about the court fencing was that potentially, and you know, it's hard to see from this, but potentially, since that's such high traffic areas during events, that the fencing might actually become a problem. That was just another opinion that was given out in that meeting. So. You know, I too definitely agree that we need to have the perimeter fencing fixed, but I'm not sold necessarily on the second fence as well. So.
Did you have public at your meeting to comment on
this? We did.
Okay, that was why I was concerned that there's nobody here tonight, because this would rival, and if I may.
Go for it.
Okay, so, through the chair. I'm not sold on adding more security at that level for several reasons. First is a perception of to the community that we're trying to lock them out. Securing the community center is one thing, and I don't mean this. You know, this is just my opinion. So I get this. I agree 100%. Security needs to be good at the perimeter, and due diligence, and for liability reasons, we want to make sure that if we know a fence is down, then we do have a liability issue if we don't do something about it. Put up a fence, it's going to stay up. You're never going to stop people from climbing the fences. But we've also talked about what happens when some of our very capable and very responsible young people that work here, things happen. Mistakes happen, schedules get messed up, people oversleep. I'm late to work sometimes, right? Well, that's hard to say because I work from the house, but yeah, okay. But Whereas there may be a solution to that with regards to remote or to time lock locks that can open the community center for access, because it is a community center. There are hours that it's supposed to be open. And if we were to put gates, that open up on a time lock, but yet the courts are still unlocked or locked up because somebody has to come here and open them, it's kind of counterproductive. And I'm not sure that we need to have that much security, I think is what I'm at. So I'm kind of agreeing with both Director Patel and Director Callahan with regards to, do we need to go that far? I'd like to hear, I mean, somebody came up with, if there's a reason we think we need to go that far, I'd love to hear it, but I can't find it to identify it myself. It doesn't need a response, it's just my opinion.
It sounds like we need to break this up into two separate actions.
And I believe that's how it was presented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think if we could make a motion on the first recommendation to approve the purchase and installation of new fencing on the southwest perimeter and exterior fence of the community center, that's the portion that has been damaged mm-hmm. and needs to be replaced. We'll do that one first, and then we can go back to the second one.
So moved staff's recommendation to increase the security at the perimeter of the community center, especially at areas that have already been damaged, so that we have a consistent chain link fence encasing the entire facility.
Second.
Okay, can we do a roll call vote, please?
Director Brown?
Aye.
Director Buteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
President Porter?
Aye. Motion is approved to...
Is that item one?
That's item one.
Item one.
Of two. So to approve the perimeter fencing that was damaged. So let's go ahead and move on to the second one. Item number two, to approve the purchase and installation of additional gating securing the tennis courts, pickleball courts inside the community center grounds. Can we get a motion to approve or not approve it?
If there's no motion, then it's set.
Okay.
So then we can come back to this at another meeting.
What would happen is I think the message to staff said take that into consideration and bring something back, maybe to the committee. It'll come back to the board, and that second piece would not be approved.
Okay.
Can I make a suggestion along those lines? And that is, I still would like to see staff follow up with some way of having time lock gates. Okay. That, I think that is a good solution to the problem.
Okay.
Thanks, staff. Good job.
Thank you. Okay, so we are now... You're up again, Alan.
Okay, this staff report deals with the code of conduct policy. Other cities have these. We didn't have one. I think this was something in the works prior to my arrival here, and Monica and Mike started this, but Monica and I actually finished it. And basically what it is a code of conduct policy that affects our facilities, our buildings, and it applies to pretty much everyone who would use those facilities and buildings.
Okay.
So for clarification, is this a code of conduct for staff and board members or for public or for both?
This is for the public.
Okay.
If the staff is acting this way, I think there's other remedies to be
Yeah. I just want a clarification on that. Because, you know, there could be a code of conduct for employees, which I believe we already do have in place. And that's what I think that's pretty much what I was getting at. So this is in addition to that, because there have been times when there's been much disrespect showed by the community. Pushing down a fence and walking through it showing disrespect. It's not verbal, but it's we're all adults. We should know better. But nonetheless, it happens. So I agree 100%.
Any other questions from the board? Okay, we'll go ahead and move it out to public comment. Okay, bring it back to the board. Any other discussion or questions? So can I get a motion?
Make a motion to approve staff's recommendation regarding the code of conduct policy.
Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Buteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
President Porter?
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. Now you're up again.
All right, the staff report before you today deals with our website policy. I want to thank Vice President Callahan for assisting on that wasn't the most knowledgeable on that, but it got some good ideas from that. Basically, the policy in place, we just made a few minor comments, or excuse me, minor changes in verbiage. The open paragraph was removed, the no conceptual parts of the document were changed. And we're bringing that before you in our goal of keep bringing these policies to you to make sure they're updated and best practice.
Are there any questions?
I read every word of it, I agree with the whole thing.
And just a comment that I relayed, just so everyone's in the same information set. This is very much standard in line with other industry documents doing the same procedure. So
thanks for bringing that to us.
Keep bringing it today. Okay, is there any public comment on this? Can we get back to the board?
I will motion to accept staff recommendation on the website policy.
Second.
Nobody.
I'm coming
in second at this meeting.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Buteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye. Motion passes. Congratulations. Now we're moving on to the manager's report. Monica. Oh. You are up. Activities guide.
Well, we had it in the book, but we don't need to pull it up, right? Because we got the hard copy in time, so I gave that to each of you. Just kind of wanted to give you a sneak a peek at what we're going to be offering this summer. Registration will open May 15th. Even though we have it, we won't put it on our website until May 15th. Classes start in June because we already are getting bombarded phone calls for swim lessons, which filled up last year. Because it was so popular, we've added and extended the number of classes that we're offering. So to make it fair to everyone, we have posted on social media that registration opens on May 15th, so nobody gets in before anybody else. I just want to make sure that we're fair to all. Yeah, thumb through it. I'm very proud of it. It turned out
great.
Flick and float was such a big hit last year. We only did one. So we're doing two this year, starting out slow. Don't want to bite off more than we can chew. So continuing to progress is good. Included some photos in there last year so people can get an idea. Doing a movie night out, open for anyone, but trying to kind of push it more toward grown-ups. Mm-hmm. Can have that night maybe out with other kids if they'd like. We started water aerobics this week on Monday.
A little chilly.
Last week would have been a better week to start.
We were still in programming.
It was 80 degrees last week.
I just wish my crystal ball was working, but it's out of order right now.
It's going to be a snowball if you're not careful.
Let me tell you, Monday, I have maybe 5 people showed up.
Good.
And I looked at them all and I said, y'all are brave. Mm-hmm. And one lady said, more like stupid. And I went, well. But then we did not have them so far the rest of the evening. Or, yeah, the instructor called and said, with your permission. And I said, oh, I totally agree. Whatever. I mean, nobody's going to come in this weather. So, but next week it's supposed to warm up again. So it'll be just as popular as last year. All the hours in here, so we'll start advertising for pool season. You can see all the swim lessons and dance classes and Zumba and yoga is now also extended into evenings more than our current guide. So yeah, it turned out. And then I love Janie actually designed our back page celebrating our 10-year big open. This summer will be 10 years. So
that's great.
She did a great job. Believe that.
This is available online too, right? So we printed a small amount and then the majority of it is online.
Yeah, anybody that wants to come in and take it. And when people come in, we'll give them to them. But yeah, primarily it's on our website, Facebook, and Instagram.
Awesome. That's great.
Did the Lions not want the back page anymore?
Well, I don't know, but it was our 10-year that was a big deal, so I chose Community Center. Oh.
But did the Lions Club pay for the back page, though?
No. They had done the last two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think it's very well done.
Yeah.
Very professional looking.
It is.
Very well laid out. I like the illustrations. And where's our drone operator? Is he responsible for that night picture of the pool?
That's a cool picture.
It looks great.
Yeah.
It is.
That is an awesome picture.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so cool.
You took this one with the drone. All right.
I'm sure you did.
And great selection of movies.
That makes the pool look spectacular.
Hocus Pocus is
phenomenal. Top Gun.
Yeah.
Maverick. I like the parks too. I like that the parks without the community throughout the community are highlighted. I think that it's a good showing of what we have. Mm-hmm. So great job.
Thank you,
Monica, and everyone involved.
Yeah. Item number two on here, we're moving to a different meeting.
Yes.
So are there any other manager reports at this point?
No, this time.
Okay, perfect. So we're gonna move on to Director Reports, Communications Committee. Dr. Graham, Director Couteau?
Yes, we met earlier today and discussed the electronic signboard that will now have new messages. That will now have new messages posted every Friday. Social media campaign we talked about the numbers that we currently have of people using Instagram, Facebook, etc., and a campaign to increase that, and then talked about our new system, the MSS, SMS, community alert, and the numbers with that, and it's looking good. We're making progress.
That's great. Thank you. Next one is Parks and Rec Committee. Director Callahan, Director Couteau.
Some of the items we already talked about earlier, which was the fencing and the gating issues, so we covered that. We also discussed updates as far as the Clipper Drive project. At a future board meeting, Bill is going to be bringing some more information back to the rest of the board as far as giving us options whether or not we want to see the project expedited or keep it on the pace it's at. So at the next board meeting, we'll have some additional information.
Perfect. Thank you. And then water, wastewater. Director Graves.
Yeah, so it was a very short meeting today. We talked about the challenges of dealing with some of our chemical issues and pricing increases that are fairly dramatic, specifically chlorine, which is a big part of our water producing. We are part of a consortium that purchases, but prices are going up everywhere, so we're competitively looking at making sure that we're saving money where we can, but we're kind of at the liberty of the decisions that the consortium makes. It was just basically letting us know for future budgeting, because we are locked into a price from year to year, but coming up next year, we're probably gonna have a 20-30% increase in our chlorine costs. Mm. And we get chlorine deliveries in the winter on average of one a week, and in the summer of two a week. And so it could be as much as $100,000 increase in our budget for water production.
Ouch.
Roughly, if I got my information correct.
And we're switching vendors because of the pricing.
Right, and because the consortium is very proactive in looking for the cheapest.
Yeah.
And we get the purchasing power of a
whole
consortium.
Purchase. Yeah.
And that's really all we had on the agenda this week.
Perfect, thank you.
Do we get the pool? Is that the same pool chlorine that we use?
No.
Is it different?
We use Univar as well. And our prices have increased quite a bit. It should be, I think, about the same.
It's a sister company of Univar. Univar, I believe, is a municipality delivery, but they have another company that does chlorine delivery strictly for pools, but it's the same.
But the point is being is everything's gonna go up, including their chlorine.
Yeah.
But the volume for the pool is much, it's not as impactful.
Really?
As for the 30,000 gallon tanks or whatever they are.
So there's some director regional meetings that have been noted and correspondence from LAFCO. Are there any future agenda items you'd like to add? Okay, so it looks like we are going to close our meeting at 7:34.